FET, it is football season as we get set for training camp, and I'm seeing predictions left and right. I'm hearing people talk about the Jets. There's a Super Bowl contender. While I want to believe it, while I want to be excited about this team, and I am to a certain extent, I cannot go there because of Robert Saleh. And I heard Diana Rossini talking about it with Boomer and Gio coming in, with, you know, Stu Gatz and Gio as he's filling in for Boomer. Get there later. So I heard that coming in, and she's talking about, oh, well, Saleh's going to take it on. Bull crap. Robert Saleh, as I've said many times before, is the worst head coach in the league. You could say that there are some unknowns, sure, but nobody has been worse at their job as a head coach in the NFL than Robert Saleh. And him being there, I just can't get past that. I think Saleh is going to be the problem that prevents the Jets from getting to their ultimate goal, whether it be to the, you know, AFC Championship or even a Super Bowl.
No, it's a Super Bowl. There's nothing short of that when you go all in like they have. It's a Super Bowl. Oh, man. Yeah, first of all, it's awesome the football's back. And I think that in the NFL, there's really three situations pertaining to coaches in terms of, like, the direct correlation between result and head coach. You either win because of, like, a Belichick, a Parcells, and we all know that Robert Saleh's not in that category. I think there's a lot of other coaches that it's fairly neutral. It's fairly benign. Like, the influence is there, but it's not palpable. It doesn't elevate. It doesn't derail. It's kind of a wash. And then there's coaches that you win in spite of. And if the Jets are going to win this year, they're going to win in spite of their head coach, which I don't love that recipe and that feeling coming into a season. But I got to tell you, I think given the roster, I think they can.
Right. Now, are you saying that because you have to as a Jet fan? Again, it's easier for me. While I'm going to root for the Jets, both the Jets and Giants this year, I want to see good New York football.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
I mean, geez, can you get us to October, for goodness sake? So I want to see that. I want to see Rodgers be healthy. I want to see the Jets light this town up because I think it would be so exciting. But I don't have the emotion the way that you do toward it. So it's easier for me to take that emotion out. You as a fan, and I know you could do, you know, your job as a broadcaster regardless of that, but it's harder to pull that out. Like, if you want to get excited about the Jets, you have to ignore the fact that you don't believe in the head coach. And I know Jet fans are going through that because how can anybody believe in Robert Saleh?
Well, I don't. I don't. I mean, straight up don't. Right. I don't know how I can be more transparent and you know, blunt and raw than I just was. I don't believe in him. I think he's a detriment. So there's so many variables for this team, starting with Rodgers' health, that, you know, and Tyron Smith, and do they get Devontae Adams? All things that we'll navigate throughout the
summer. What's up with Reddick, by the way?
That's more of a Joe Douglas thing, and we'll get to that coming up a little bit. I think that Robert Saleh is, I understood what he tried to do by, you know, trying to seize the wheel of control of the car again, the way he described Rodgers' absence, the other, you know, a couple for the OTAs, right?
Yeah.
Now, it was a small flex, but it was a flex. I mean, you don't have to look too hard to understand or really understand psychology too much that that's what he was doing. Robert Saleh might not be a very good coach. He's not a dumb man at all. And he knows the narrative about him, and he's out to dispel it. How do you do that? Well, the first time your star quarterback's not there when he's supposed to be there, literally, legally, you know, from an NFL contractual point of view, literally, you know, legally, he's not there. And you do a little flex. It means nothing until the fourth quarter and things are moving fast and there's timeouts and there's down the distance. Do I punt? Do I go for it? And I don't think he's going to be very good at that. Right. I don't. But as long as Rodgers is the quarterback, I know that this sounds insane. I don't think it matters.
Yeah, and you have to hope that that's the case. See, I think eventually it will matter. I just don't believe it's sustainable throughout the course of an entire season to have one guy, in this case Rodgers, be the quarterback, be the offensive coordinator, be the head coach, be the guy that everybody looks up to.
Yeah.
That, to me, is a recipe for disaster. Now, I know you're going to say, all right, well, Saleh's going to run the defense, sure, and that's not Rodgers' thing. Yeah, but everything else is going to be Rodgers. That's a lot to put on him at his age coming off that injury.
Don't you think he wants it?
Yeah,
I think he relishes
this. I do, and I think that if anybody could handle it, he could. But at this age, coming off that injury, that's a lot. I don't care how many MVPs you want or how many Super Bowls you have. That's a lot to ask of anybody. You need, and by the way, for even if he can do it, you still need a leader of the team to be the head coach. Like, you can't, you can't have it be another player on a team.
I would not have brought him back. I understand that they're so.
You said that at the time. There were many options out there.
We both said it. Cole Harbaugh. You know, let Vrabel, you know, get Vrabel in the building. That ship has sailed, so, you know, you got to move forward here. Listen, it's not perfect, and with the Jets, it seems like it's never going to be perfect. But I would much rather have, you know, an aging, all-time, you know, brilliant thrower and decipherer of, if you will, of the game of football, you know, mentally, and he can still sling it. Not quite like, you know, Mike right. White, but he, you know, Boyle, he can fling.
Timmy Boyle can spin it.
But I'd rather have that and a head coach who is more of a problem than an asset than an average quarterback and a great head coach. So that's why, again, it's not ideal, but I just think that there's enough on this roster to work around that. I don't mean that,
right.
You know, there's nobody stamping the Super Bowl here, but...
Well, there are people picking the Jets to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm not one of them yet. I'm definitely not going there. But I believe this with all my heart. If you go, you know, 1 through 53, Jets have a top 5 roster in the NFL.
Right.
They have a top 5 roster in the NFL.
And by the way, I'm not saying that I disagree...
And their division's getting weaker.
I'm not saying that I disagree with your thought on would you rather have the great quarterback... and the crappy head coach versus the great head coach and the crappy quarterback.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, now we're talking about for 1 year. Obviously, long term, you'd much rather have the greater coach.
For sure.
I would anyway. Building the program moving forward. I've just seen it work before, and you could win with even not the greatest quarterback. But also, Rodgers, he's past his prime.
Like, do we know that? Honestly.
Yes, I think that we do. And I love him. You know that. I do love Rodgers. He is past his prime. Could he still get it done? Sure. He's not a top 5 quarterback in the NFL right now.
And, I don't think he needs to be.
Okay, well, to what, though?
Top 10.
To get them to the playoffs?
No,
sure.
To win a Super Bowl, right, so I think he's got to be clearly top 10, which I think he could be.
Winning a Super Bowl takes a lot.
I know.
That's the thing. Like, we're holding the Jets to a standard that they haven't even made the playoffs. They haven't made the playoffs in about 14 years, and we're talking about the Super Bowl. So they're going to be held to a much higher standard. That means Rodgers, at his age, coming off that injury, is going to be held to the standard of his prime. Can he be that? I'm not so sure. And then Robert Saleh, who is the, in my mind, worst head coach in the league. And even if you do it without me saying the worst, like, where are you ranking him? If you do it fairly... where would you rank Robert Saleh? Like, he's certainly bottom 5 at best.
Yeah, bottom 5, bottom 6, bottom 7. No question.
At best.
No question.
So now how is a team with a quarterback off of that injury, past his prime and his age, you know, age 40, whatever it may be.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the worst head coaches in the league, how is that going to win a Super Bowl?
Well, the only thing that I would say is, and to refute or to push back, as I'm going to try, because nobody really knows the answer, there's a lot of examples in history that, you know, in the NFL, I'm not going to go to the other sports where, you know, it started horrendously. And one is Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells was almost fired right away. And, you know, then Phil Simms got healthy. Then the defense grew up. Then he had a couple of horses up front as offensive lineman. Boom, champion a couple of years after that. So now the difference is that this has been multiple years for Robert Saleh. I think the spoken word is much more important now than back then. Back then, Parcells said something even before he became Parcells that wasn't really challenged by players. Now everything, you know, there's a million clicks and we're going to hit it on the radio and all the shows and all the articles and all the debates and all the topics that stem from that one little statement that goes awry. It really complicates a head coach's job. I understand that. My fear, now nobody thinks that Robert Saleh doesn't know football. Of course the man knows football. If he could just, and it might be too late. It might be. If he could just clean up the press conferences, because that's what's complicated his world. Instead of being direct and blunt and not worrying about offending or getting separation from guys in the locker room, they're not your buddies. They are your players. And I can promise you, the moment something goes really awry, they will abandon you.
But what about,
stop kissing their ass.
And what about holding these guys accountable?
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen. So I don't even care about what he says in the press conference, although that's a problem. But actually hold them accountable. Stupid penalties, looking clueless on the sideline.
Yeah.
There's a lot there that I want to be excited about the Jets. And I am to a certain extent, but I have a ceiling on what they could do because of the head coach.
All right, let's get to it. It's BT and Sal. By the way, good morning. 888-808-1019. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show inside of our Town Fair Tire Studio. Friends of Town Fair remind you that you always get the lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. They got receivers. They got horses up front, both sides of the ball. Secondary looks great. Rodgers is healthy now. All-timer, running backs, weapons. They got it all. Can they win with the coach? Let me get Adam, South Jersey, BT and Sal. Adam, what's happening?
My favorite show on the planet. Good morning, boys.
That's right.
Jet football.
Oh, much better than that Stu Gatz guy down the hole coming in for a couple days here.
Hey, listen, listen. You know, I think you guys over one Stu Gatz any day of the week. You know what I mean? So, yeah, we're talking Jets and Robert Saleh. You know, BT, I've been telling you this since before you and Sal got together when you were with Tiki. And I told you this a few weeks ago. I'm terrified this year because the potential is there roster-wise for this to be a 13-win team. And for all of us Jet fans, for the first time in over a decade, to actually smile. But I look at the sideline, you know, you just said some key words, man. I know from the time I was a little kid in Marine Park playing for the Brooklyn Hurricanes, when we won championships, it's because we had great leaders of men. Our coaches were great leaders. They showed us the path. He can't show them the path because he doesn't know the path. And that's what scares me. You know, the lack of discipline. If something goes awry, BT, have you ever seen a year where something doesn't go awry? Where something right.
Not
happen?
In the NFL. Right. No, always.
So something inevitably right. will go wrong, Adam. You're right.
Right. It will go wrong, Sal. It's a matter of how do you handle it. When you have a great leader of men, you can navigate the rough waters. When you don't, you get Mike White t-shirts. When you don't, You get
right.
a mess like we have with Zach Wilson. These are the messages you get when you hit these controversies and these tough times. And I'm just scared that they're going to come out the gate. You look at their schedule after San Francisco. They easily, even if they lose San Francisco, could be 5-1.
Yeah.
But then what happens when you hit the tough part?
Well, here's the thing.
Someone gets hurt.
I got you. Thanks for the call there, buddy. And, yeah, the schedule is pretty soft, you know, for a while there. I don't want to get, you know, too in the weeds on that now. And it shouldn't have to be soft. You know what I mean? Like, the Jets really do have that roster that is... You know, listen, it's subjective. There's no definitive measurement. Let's hit a button. Think. The Jets have the second best roster. No, I mean, but I think by most people's accounts who know the game, both sides of the ball, all encompassing, it's one of the better rosters in the NFL. It guarantees nothing, but it does set you up theoretically to hit, you know, a level of altitude that the Jets never hit. I was thinking about this, though. Like, as much as Saleh complicated things a year ago with the press conferences and the lack of clarity and clue sometimes with the quarterback position. Don't you think, Sal, if Rodgers is healthy, really doesn't matter what he says? Because Rodgers, provided his head's in the right space, and I believe it will be, this man wants to win, mm-hmm. despite some of the other nonsense that he jumps into. I just think that he's going to, if he's playing well and he's healthy, he's going to marginalize the coach. Like, Saleh's going to be less important. That's why I think that they can win in spite of Saleh.
Maybe to a certain extent, but ultimately, especially in the NFL, I just think it's so important to have a competent head coach. Think about this. Like, I'd rather have, forget about the quarterback versus the coach, what we talked about before. I'd rather have a lesser talented roster and a better head coach. Like Brian Daboll, for example, a couple years ago, where Daboll took a... Look at the Giants had no talent. They had no talent. He took that team led by Daniel Jones, and old Daniel Jones that was run the football. They didn't have a great defense. They didn't have a good offense. I mean, they were average at best everywhere. At best, with no talent, they went to the playoffs and won a road playoff game. So I'd rather have that than have the ultimate talent roster with a head coach who... is, I think, one of the worst or the worst in the league. And now you're going to see it play out because in our minds it sounds great. Like, yeah, Rodgers is back and they have all these weapons and it should be fine in spite of the head coach. But you know this. We're going to be watching the games. There's going to be some crucial plays or some stupid penalties or some bad timeouts or a bad challenge or a bad play call. And it's going to be on Robert Saleh and he's going to cost them games and hold them back. I'd much rather have the coach who knows what he's doing to formulate the game plan week in, week out, than have the talent on paper.
Do you think... Boy, I hesitate to even throw this out. It's the first day of training camp.
Right.
But given the circumstances, and given the pressure, and given the urgency, and the finality soon of Aaron Rodgers' career, and what Joe Douglas has at stake this year, if it got really sideways... Don't you have to do something mid-season?
But for what?
I don't know.
Like Nathaniel Hackett?
I don't know.
And by the way, that's the other part of the problem here.
Like, it's got to be attacked with that sort of...
Right.
I don't want to be redundant with the use of the word urgency, but it's got to be bottom line. That's it. We can't mess around.
I understand, but it would be easy. First of all, they should have done that in the offseason. And let's just say, okay, well, they didn't, so here we are. Wouldn't it be easier if you had a competent offensive coordinator? Like, it's not even just Saleh. Saleh's so bad as a head coach that you're so reliant on the offensive coordinator, and the Jets have one of the worst offensive coordinators in the league because Aaron Rodgers loves him. This is all on Aaron Rodgers. Well, I mean, it's not a recipe for success.
That's not the smart way to build a team, really? Ralph's in Manhattan, BT and Sal on the fan. Ralphie, what's happening?
What's happening, guys? You know,
What's happening? Been a while.
I always prefer the talent on the field. Now you have a coach who's underwhelming. You know, I'm being kind when I say underwhelming, but you have a guy who knows his X's and O's. I don't think he's quite as bad as you're making him out to be, Sal. But nevertheless, Rodgers, to question whether Rodgers is past his prime is absurd. I mean, the guy's got one last paycheck and he got it, boy, big time, right? And he talks about, I've seen him on several venues. Every word out of his mouth is some other kind of ancillary subject other than football. I truly believe, now you can't go on the football field and embarrass yourself. You're not going to go in out of shape physically, all those things. I understand that.
Yeah.
But football is probably about four or five on his agenda. And that's pretty sad when you're getting paid a king's rent.
Hold on a sec, Ralph. You don't know that to be true. You surmise that. And by the way, I completely disagree with you. I know that he delves into other things, but I think that the modern athlete is just kind of predisposed to do that no matter what. I mean,
and that's,
you know what I mean? Like, guys have podcasts during the season. They just navigate it. It's a new athlete.
I'm with you completely on that. I don't feel these guys should be one-sided and, you know, narrow-minded as in the past.
Yeah.
But to him, it's gone overboard. And again, I'm always searching because I want to see his attitude. I want to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. I don't want to be the naysayer.
Yeah.
But I see him, I see his approach, and I hear his comments, and he's so changeable. One time you'll hear him say one thing and you'll take it as fact. And the next time he'll come out, he'll counteract his point in the past, and you don't know where he's coming from.
Right, but why do we care though what he says? Like, I could not care
because
less.
Because what he says translates to the field.
No, it doesn't.
You know, not at all, Ralph. And thank you for the call.
I couldn't care
less what Roger says, and that has nothing to do with me saying he's past his prime. I'm saying he's past his prime because he's 40 years old, coming off a significant injury. And by the way, the last year that he was healthy, he threw more interceptions than in the prior, you know, two and a half seasons combined. The last 3 years combined for Rodgers prior to his last season healthy, he threw 13 interceptions. Last year, last healthy year.
When they lost to the Lions on that Sunday night, that last game.
Exactly. Yeah. He threw 12, right? They missed the playoffs.
How about this? If he throws 12 this year, the Jets really might win the Super Bowl. That's the point. Think about that. If you get the 25, 26, 28 touchdowns in grade D, I mean, I'd probably sign up for 12 picks right now.
Understood, but I'm just giving you the example of why I said he's past his prime. Rodgers in his prime was one of the great quarterbacks the sport has ever seen.
Indisputable.
So Rodgers at 41, is he going to be as great a quarterback as the Jets have ever seen? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Could he still get to the playoffs and do some damage? Maybe. But to me, you can't say somebody's in their prime when they're coming off a season-ending injury last year, in their 40s, and the last time we saw him healthy, in comparison to his prime, it was not on that level.
Listen, in your defense, I think it's a very fair statement. I believe it's the Aaron Rodgers revenge tour that's going to be one hell of a fun show to watch. What worries me is the coach. I'm not worried about Rodgers. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the fan. All right, BT and Sal back on the fan. 1029 is the time. 888-808-1019 is the number. Hey, a little heads up. Next hour, Johnny Damon. So we told you we would give you the home slant with the Mets were hosting the Subway Series for the two games. We had, David Wright, Mike Piazza, Matt Harvey. Yesterday we had David Wells. That was an interesting one. Today we got Johnny Damon. Oh, 11:20, I've been told. Okay. So what does it say on 11 o'clock on the sheet? Did he just push it back there? Oh, he did. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it, buddy. So we'll get Johnny Damon coming up. Listen, I know we'll do baseball later. You know, Yanks hit, Mets, Yanks and Mets both hit later. I want to win these two games. Usually, I don't get too wrapped up in the Subway Series, but like, even if the Yankees just split, and we'll get back to these Jet calls here, camp is opening, it's going to bother me because guys like you are going to be, oh, we took 3 out of 4, the whole Severino stuff, two hitters. Looking forward to these couple games here.
Yeah, I look forward to getting into it. Look, the Mets need to just win one of these next two here, and then they're a bigger fish to fry. Like, win this series or split this series, that means you win the season series, then go build your team. Both these teams have bigger fish to fry. I think the Yankees actually need this series more, though.
I don't know if I disagree with that, actually. Yeah. I don't know that I disagree with that.
Like, if the Mets lost both, it would suck just in the fact that you lose both in the standing. They already did their job sweeping at home. Now they just get one, and they win the series. So they've done the hard part. They just got to get one more here, and they're good to go. But, yeah, the Yankees lose this series and get swept. And I don't think they will. I think the pitching favors the Yankees here. Figured they get at least one of these two from the Mets. But either way, the trade deadline is a week away, and that's a bigger issue for both these.
We have a lot of fun with baseball later, so we'll get back to these calls here. 888-808-1019. And let's face it, you know, the role of head coach and the ability to act certain ways and call certain players out, and just, you know, really just the way you comport yourself, it's different. It's not the 80s, not the 90s, but, you know, Robert Sala has yet to strike a balance here that seems to work for anybody despite a ton of talent. So that's what worries us about what the Jets could do as they start camp today. Pete's out in Pennsylvania. What's happening, Pete?
What's up, Sal?
It's BT and Sal. What's up? What's up, Pete?
Hey, what's up, Sal? What's up, company man? How you guys doing?
Yeah, we're good, buddy. You want to have a... Go ahead. Let's go.
Nah, I'm done. Two points on the Jets.
Yeah.
One... 2 points on the Jets. One, I'm with you guys. I think I should have got rid of Sala, and I wanted that coach from Detroit, Ben Johnson, an offensive mind finally in here to maybe coach them. I was hoping he would come here. What do you guys think?
Well, he didn't. That's what I think. How about that? I mean, what do I think? But, well, he didn't come here, so who cares? And by the way, the you know, putting so much emphasis on, I'm not saying that Ben Johnson couldn't be good here, but, you know, if and when the Jets, well, not when, when the Jets
where
have
to go to Washington, where was
I forgot? I think so. Whenever the Jets get a new head coach, enough rolling the dice on coordinators. It must be an established head coach. That's it.
Well, you think? I mean, that's part of the issue and part of the problem with Ben Johnson. And by the way, is he still with the Lions here?
I thought he stayed. I don't know. Maybe I messed that up. I'm so still in baseball mode.
He stayed. Yeah, he might have. And maybe he was. Yeah, he did bypass the head coaching opportunities.
Stayed.
I thought he was the front runner at Washington, but either. Oh, yeah, and Dan Quinn got Washington. What am I talking about?
That's your buddy.
Yeah. But either way, the point is the Jets couldn't hire an offensive minded guy because of Rodgers. Because any guy you bring in that's an offensive minded guy was going to have to adapt to Aaron Rodgers' system. And that's not going to be the case. So that's why they wouldn't go that way now. Now, to me, that doesn't make it right. I would have blown the whole thing up after last year. Said, you know what? We took our best shot with Aaron Rodgers. Sala clearly in it. Hackett is not it. We're getting rid of these two guys. We're bringing in a new head coach. Rodgers, whether you like it or not, doesn't matter. This is the new head coach. We're building a football team, not placating a star quarterback who's in his 40s. Like, it just doesn't add up to me the way that they're going about it. But they double down. This is going to be the year now. You find out that Sala's officially not it. And by the way, maybe the worst thing could be if they, like, make the playoffs and then lose. Then what? Then what do you do? Like, if, at least if it blows up, then you fire Sala, you move on, fresh, clean slate moving forward, which is the best thing for the team.
Yeah.
If they make the playoffs, you know, then what? Okay, now you
I still think the experience is good for the roster and for the culture. For the locker room, the young kids, Garrett Wilson, Breeze.
They'll keep the head coach. Do they bring Rodgers back again?
Yeah, I mean, it depends how he plays. Yeah. You know, there's so many variables, my God. Yeah, I can't prove this. I was thinking about this coming in a little bit. You know, the amount of it's hard to present, but I really want your opinion on this. Mm-hmm. I don't want to make it too, you know, all over the map. You go back in whatever amount of time you want to select here. You know, you could even go to Joe Torre. You can go to Pat Riley mm-hmm. in the mid-90s, maybe even Mike Keenan with the Rangers. Again, I can't prove it. The amount of pressure and the level of expectations, you yourself said people are already on the record. A lot of people picking the Jets to get to and win the Super Bowl. National pundits, national voices. What team, even here in this pressure cooker of our city, has had the pressure that these Jets have, along with the expectations, like, if they don't do really well, everybody's gone. That didn't happen to Joe Torre. Maybe at the end you start to hear that. Maybe it's time for a new voice. That happened to Pat Riley. I mean, who did it happen to?
But the other
maybe
thing is,
a little, who?
Yeah, but the other thing is this Jets team is going from not making the playoffs in, what, 13, 14 seasons?
I think it's 14
okay,
now.
14
longest drought in North American team sports.
Right, so they're going...
Hey, we're good at something.
Right, they're going from that, and somehow people are putting Super Bowl expectations on them.
Doesn't mean that they're not... But it seems
crazy. I mean,
Robert
Sala hasn't sniffed a 500 record.
But you know what, Sal? It doesn't seem... Okay. it doesn't seem congruent with the Jets' history. I agree. I mean, like, what? We're talking Super Bowl. It's the Jets. But it is applicable given the high level of talent on the roster. Like, if you can divorce yourself from the, you know, same old Jets narrative, here we go, Vinny's Achilles, you know, this is HC of the NYJ, all the nonsense, the Darnolds, the Zachs, everything we've been through, the Achilles a year ago, just put that, like, delete that for a moment and look at the roster and look at the division and look at the possibilities. Like, it's not irresponsible to say that the Jets could be in the Super Bowl. It's not.
I know, but it's also, to me, not realistic. I mean, you want to say it's
Why?
Not irresponsible.
Just because of Saleh? Because they're the Jets?
No, because of Saleh, because usually these things at least take a little time to build up. You can't go 4-13, 7-10, 7-10, and then boom, Super Bowl. Like, to me, that just doesn't happen out of nowhere. With a quarterback at his age coming off that, like, you're asking a lot, not just one thing, not just to overcome the head coach. It's also the quarterback to come back and be healthy at his age and perform at a high level. Oh, and then you also need to be lucky and be good in other areas as well. It's not just that. To me, there are too many question marks for a team that we're talking about Super Bowl. Get to the playoffs first.
Let me get Lou and Sandy Hook. What's happening, Lou?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey.
Hey, listen, your argument about Favre reminds me of a Toby Keith song. Toby Keith sang, Favre. I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're hoping for, you know?
Yeah. I get
one,
it.
You know, that one knockout punch.
Yep, it's a good song, by the way. I get it. You know,
not familiar with it.
You don't know that song?
No.
I mean, I don't have
Toby
it on my...
Toby Keith?
Yeah, like, and I'm not even a huge Toby Keith. I don't know a ton of his song. I know that
He's
song,
He's a country
though.
Guy?
Yeah. Huh. Like, the premise is, like, I can't do what I used to do as regularly as I used to do it, but I could still do what I used to do at least once.
Right.
It's not a bad call there.
Understood, but for a full season?
But I think maybe we're stretching the parameters of once.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, you got to make it fit somehow here, Sal.
Right,
that's
right.
Perfect with the Jets.
No, I get it. And by the way, interesting slip of the tongue there calling him Favre.
I did call him Favre.
Oh, look, I'm excited for this Jets season. I'm excited for Rodgers to do his thing. I want to actually see it. I cannot wait for these games and watch them play each and every night. Problem is, I just have a hard time going from 0 to 100 with Robert Saleh as the head coach. Like, I fundamentally don't believe in the way the Jets are built or have been built. I was fine with going to get Rodgers last offseason into last year. I was not fine with it after what happened last year. You don't double down off of that. You realize, you know what? We made a mistake handing the keys to our franchise over to a quarterback at his age and making him the guy, because we don't have a head coach. We don't have an offensive coordinator. He's the guy. To me, that's just not a recipe for success, so I can't let that go. By the way, you did say we could be watching the Rodgers revenge tour.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you that of all the things that are possible this season in the NFL, that would be one that I want to see the most. I love the revenge tour. I love the fact that people have doubted him and he's ready to stick it to every single person. I would love to see it. I just think there are limitations to what he could do as an individual, as great as he once was or as great as he may be.
888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal. Brandon, Tierney, Sal, the kind of show here on the fan. We'll get back to these calls coming up. We'll get to Johnny Damon next hour in about 40 minutes. Get the Yanks and the Mets on the table as well. And here we are sitting, you know, trying to get a sense of what they could do with the limitations seemingly their head coach puts on them. But then there's also the GM, who more of us believe in than the head coach, but he looks bad today based on Hassan Reddick, which we'll get to as well. Round two of the Subway Series coming up starting tonight in the Bronx. BT and Sal, we'll get to that a little later. And, you know, listen, that first home run that Juan Soto hit, oh, my God, that was absolutely glorious.
Took 40, almost 40 seconds to round the bases. I think 37.7, something like that.
Yeah, but you know why, right?
Yeah, because
Siri and Rosarena, Pimpin' and stuff. I have no problem with that.
Okay, I have no problem with Soto doing it. I have a problem with everybody doing it. Like, I think we're out of control. Seriously, who's to say now, like, if I'm playing and everybody's like, well, I'm just being me. So whether it's Siri, whether it's Soto, whether you're responding or not, well, I'm just being me. Who's to say I hit one 9 miles off somebody and then I literally walk around the bases?
Yeah.
I'm serious. That's next. I mean, that's next. These guys are Siri's stopping at third base, throwing his arms up in the air, celebrating. Like, it's gotten ridiculous.
Yeah. You should see the kids. So it's only going to get worse. I mean, they're, you know, 9-year-old kids, I mean, they have Like, there's these parody reels that are out there that are actually pretty accurate. First of all, just what the kids wear between the sliding glove and the armor. I'm talking about 9-year-old kids.
I know. And then
they get the first base. It's one of the dads. They think it's like his job to collect his gear.
It's ridiculous.
It's not going to change.
See, it's got to get policed at that level.
It's so not, though.
One of these kids gets on base. They're handing you their shin guard.
Well, I don't coach first base. I coach third. Not the club team. I go, I got to get the signs. I got to be in charge. You know?
But if they did.
No disrespect to first base coaches. I got to coach third. What's going on?
I don't know. Somebody's drink canister down here.
I think that's Dugatz's fault. Did he come in here?
No, just get that. I mean, what is going on?
What is it, water?
Oh, I almost kicked it over. I want to make sure.
Is it Stugatz's?
Canister.
He's making himself at home here last couple
days. Anyway, it's got to get policed. Yeah. It's got to get policed at a young age. And honestly, forget even the kids, because that's luckily not my problem. I hear you and Hoff talking about it with the tournament and the Little League stuff. It drives me nuts. It gives me anxiety. I can't even deal with it. With the parents going nuts and yelling at the umpires.
There's a lot of good people. It's the 2% that ruin it for everybody. There's so many good people involved.
But
you know that.
But in the big leagues, seriously. There is no rule in place, right, that's stopping somebody from walking around the bases or moonwalking or going backwards. Like, at some point, it's getting so out of control. And the ridiculous bat flips, which, by the way, not to be old man or, like, politically correct, but it could also be dangerous. You're throwing a wood bat up in the air 30 feet in the direction of the dugout. Like, can we just calm it down a notch?
I wouldn't mind that.
The lid has been blown off.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be worse to your point. Somebody's got to step in and be like, guys, we let you be yourselves. It's getting freaking ridiculous, and it's dangerous because even though it's allowed, the Yankees did get ticked off with Siri.
Oh, yeah. Judge was staring him down. No, I understand.
Okay, so what that's going to lead to is a brawl, which is great. I love that stuff.
Maybe then it stops it.
Okay, well, hopefully. But either way, if the sport is not going to police itself anymore, then baseball needs to step in. And just, I'm not saying shut it all down. I'm saying curtail it a little bit. Put a little cap on it.
Would you like a little fertilizer for that lawn, old man?
Yeah, I would, actually.
I must see it out wrong, but it's not changing. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal here on the Fan. All right, before we get back to the call. So, I really value Joe. I think Joe, it sounds crazy, because he's won nothing. I think Joe Douglas is good at his job. Unfortunately, what he messed up the most is the most important position, so it skews unfavorably for him all of the good that he's done. But how can you mess this up? How can you, it's one thing to let Bryce Huff walk. It's a lot of money. Okay?
Which I didn't have a problem with.
Neither did I. But you let a good player who was from the culture and fit well. I'm not saying that Reddick won't whenever he plays, if he does, but Huff fit and he was effective. Money's different. Got it. But you also gave up a decent amount of draft equity. I believe that was a third round pick. So you let a good player leave, you give up draft picks, and you don't have this resolve by the time practice starts today?
Come on.
How?
Come on. This is just, I know you don't want to hear it.
Gotta say it.
It's same old Jets type stuff. Even in a year where everything on paper is lined up, you could not believe in them like I don't, whatever, as far as solo or as far as being legit Super Bowl contenders, but everything on paper is lined up, and now this nonsense. It's not even just now. Like, this has been happening, going back to the OTAs or whatever, and now he's holding out. Like, it's just same old Jets type stuff. By the way, not only is Douglas not one, and I tend to agree with you, like, and maybe it's just in comparison to what we've seen in the past from the Jets, Maccagnan or Idzik, and it just felt different with Joe Douglas. Dude, 7-9, 2-14, 4-13, 7-10, 7-10. Zach Wilson. Like, and this is like, the Hassan Reddick stuff is
small potatoes.
Yeah, compared to that.
He couldn't even handle the backup quarterback spot, let alone getting the right spot, the first guy right.
Yeah, understood. Like, jeez. I mean, at some point, if he were 9-8, it wouldn't be good enough.
Yeah.
He hasn't even gotten an 8-win season in a 17-game schedule.
Well, we're here now. 9-8, he's gone. 9-8, Salah's gone. 9-8, everyone's gone. It's the rules.
What's the bare minimum? And then, like, all right, so say 10-7 on the playoff spot. Like, it's still not good enough.
10-7 is not good enough.
But what if they go 10-7 and make the playoffs out in the first round?
No. Goodbye.
And you think Woody's going to do
that? Well, then I would definitely get rid of the coach. I could still probably justify keeping Joe.
Yeah.
I
do. Are you going to make him take another head coach and quarterback?
Yeah, that's tricky. That's a good point.
But I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, BT, because a part of me agrees with you.
I know.
There's something about him that I trust, too.
Yeah.
But If you fire Saleh after this year and give him another opportunity to hire a head coach and draft a quarterback, which they're going to have to do at some point over the next 2 years because Rodgers isn't going to play forever, and he gets it wrong again, you're setting yourself back another 3-4 years.
Well,
10 years.
We've already wasted 40. Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, imagine, you know, somebody recommends a financial advisor to you, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I've got this, I've got that, I've got kids, I've got college funds, I've got, you know, everything that I've got to set up, whatever. I've got a home, here's what I have, help me out. And somebody comes that you trust, that you value. Hey, you know, my buddy Joe somebody that I worked with for the last 15 years, he's giving me 10, 11, 12% return every single year. He's phenomenal. And you hire him. And for the first 5 years, you're minus 4%. He comes well-received. He comes with a good scouting report. Did you make me money or did you lose me money?
Right.
And right now, Joe's lost a lot of money, but it's just odd. It's counterintuitive. I still support the guy. Like, if Robert Saleh left the building, it's going to sound so callous, man. But if Robert Saleh left the building today, I wouldn't miss him for a second.
Right.
Like, okay, upgrade. I think Joe could be a great GM.
I think the reason why we believe that, I do think there have been some flashes. He's made some brilliant trades, and he's
Jamal Adams.
Yeah, he's unafraid. And he's made some good picks too. Look, everybody's got some good picks, some bad ones. But when he's missed colossally here. But the way he carries himself, he doesn't seem overwhelmed by the job, by the city. He seems confident. And sometimes it does take a while. I also think it's in comparison to his predecessors, which were god-awful.
That's true.
Bottom of the barrel, yeah. Overmatched every which way possible, you know. So there is some of that in there with Joe Douglas. But I do trust him to a certain extent. Hey, bottom line is, it's a wins business. You know that. It's all about winning. At some point, they gotta win.
It's got to be this year. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal. Coming up, we'll start getting into the Subway Series. Roll with the Jets as well. A little something on Saquon Barkley. BT and Sal on the Fan. Okay. It doesn't seem congruent with the Jets' history. I agree. I mean, like, what? We're talking Super Bowl. It's the Jets. But it is applicable given the high level of talent on the roster. Like, if you can divorce yourself from the, you know, same old Jets narrative, here we go, Vinny's Achilles, you know, this is HC of the NYJ, all the nonsense, the Darnolds, the Zachs, everything we've been through, the Achilles a year ago, just put that, like, delete that for a moment and look at the roster and look at the division and look at the possibilities. Like, it's not irresponsible to say that the Jets could be in the Super Bowl.
I know, but it's also, to me, not realistic. I mean, you want to say it's
Why?
Not irresponsible.
Just because of Saleh? Because they're the Jets?
No, because of Saleh, because usually these things at least take a little time to build up. You can't go 4-13, 7-10, 7-10, and then boom, Super Bowl. Like, to me, that just doesn't happen out of nowhere. With a quarterback at his age coming off that, like, you're asking a lot, not just one thing, not just to overcome the head coach. It's also the quarterback to come back and be healthy at his age and perform at a high level. Oh, and then you also need to be lucky and be good in other areas as well. It's not just that. To me, there are too many question marks for a team that we're talking about Super Bowl. Get to the playoffs first.
Let me get Lou in Sandy Hook. What's happening, Lou?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey.
Hey, listen, your argument about Favre reminds me of a Toby Keith song. Toby Keith sang,
Favre.
I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're hoping for, you know?
Yeah, I get
one,
it.
You know, that one knockout punch.
Yep, it's a good song, by the way. I get it. You know,
not familiar with it.
You don't know that song?
No.
I mean, I don't have
Toby
it on my...
Keith?
Yeah, like, and I'm not even a huge Toby Keith. I don't know a ton of his song. I know that
He's
song,
He's a country
though.
Guy?
Yeah. Like, the premise is, like, I can't do what I used to do as regularly as I used to do it, but I could still do what I used to do at least once.
Right.
It's not a bad call there.
Understood, but for a full season?
I mean, think maybe we're stretching the parameters of once.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, yeah, maybe you got to make it fit somehow here, Sal. That's
right.
Perfect with
no,
the Jets.
No, I get it. And by the way, interesting slip of the tongue there calling him Favre.
I did call him Favre.
Oh, look, I'm excited for this Jets season. I'm excited for Rodgers to do his thing. I want to actually see it. I cannot wait for these games and watch them play each and every night. Problem is, I just have a hard time going from 0 to 100 with Robert Saleh as the head coach. Like, I fundamentally don't believe in the way the Jets are built or have been built. I was fine with going to get Rodgers last offseason into last year. I was not fine with it after what happened last year. You don't double down off of that. You realize, you know what, we made a mistake handing the keys to our franchise over to a quarterback at his age and making him the guy. Because we don't have a head coach. We don't have an offensive coordinator. He's the guy. To me, that's just not a recipe for success, so I can't let that go. By the way, you did say we could be watching the Rodgers revenge tour.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you that of all the things that are possible this season in the NFL, that would be one that I want to see the most. I love the revenge tour. I love the fact that people have doubted him and he's ready to stick it to every single person. I would love to see it. I just think there are limitations to what he could do as an individual, as great as he once was or as great as he may be.
888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal. Brandon, Tierney, Sal, the kind of show here on The Fan. We'll get back to these calls coming up. We'll get to Johnny Damon next hour in about 40 minutes. Get the Yanks and the Mets on the table as well. And here we are sitting, you know, trying to get a sense of what they could do with the limitations seemingly their head coach puts on them. But then there's also the GM, who more of us believe in than the head coach, but he looks bad today based on Hassan Reddick, which we'll get to as well. Round two of the Subway Series coming up starting tonight in the Bronx. BT and Sal, we'll get to that a little later. And, you know, listen, that first home run that Juan Soto hit, oh, my God, that was absolutely glorious.
Took 40, almost 40 seconds to round the bases. I think 37.7, something like that.
Yeah, but you know why, right?
Yeah, because
Siri and Rosarena, Pimpin' and stuff. I have no problem with that.
Okay, can I just say, I have no problem with Soto doing it. I have a problem with everybody doing it. Like, I think we're out of control. Seriously, who's to say now, like, if I'm playing and everybody's like, well, I'm just being me. Whether it's Siri, whether it's Soto, whether you're responding or not, well, I'm just being me. Who's to say I hit one 9 miles off somebody and then I literally walk around the bases?
Yeah.
I'm serious. That's next. I mean, that's next. These guys are Siri's stopping at third base, throwing his arms up in the air, celebrating. Like, it's gotten ridiculous.
Yeah. You should see the kids. So it's only going to get worse. I mean, they're 9-year-old kids. I mean, they have... Like, there's these parody reels that are out there that are actually pretty accurate. First of all, just what the kids wear between the sliding glove and the armor. I'm talking about 9-year-old kids.
I know. And then
they get to first base. It's one of the dads. They think it's like his job to collect his gear.
It's ridiculous.
It's not going to change.
See, it's got to get policed at that level.
It's so not, though.
One of these kids gets on base. They're handing you their shin guard.
Well, I don't coach first base. I coach third. not the club team. I go, you know, I got to get the signs. I got to be in charge.
But if they did.
No disrespect to first base coaches. I got to coach third. What's going on?
I don't know. Somebody's drink canister down here.
I think that's Dugatz's fault. Did he come in here?
No, just get that. I mean, what is going on?
What is it? Water?
Oh, I almost kicked it over. I want to make sure.
Is it Stugatz's?
Open. No, canister.
He's making himself at home here last
anyway,
couple days.
It's got to get policed. Yeah. It's got to get policed at a young age. And honestly, forget even the kids, because that's luckily not my problem. I hear you and Hoff talking about it with the tournament and the Little League stuff. It drives me nuts. It gives me anxiety. I can't even deal with it. With the parents going nuts and yelling at the umpires.
There's a lot of good people.
You two knuckleheads included.
It's the 2% that ruin it for everybody. There's so many good people involved.
But,
you know that.
But in the big leagues, seriously, there is no rule in place, right, that's stopping somebody from walking around the bases or moonwalking or going backwards. Like, at some point, it's getting so out of control. And the ridiculous bat flips, which, by the way, not to be old man or, like, politically correct, but it could also be dangerous. You're throwing a wood bat up in the air 30 feet in the direction of the dugout. Like, can we just calm it down a notch?
I wouldn't mind that.
The lid has been blown off, and it's going to be worse to your point. Somebody's got to step in and be like, guys, we let you be yourselves. It's getting freaking ridiculous, and it's dangerous because even though it's allowed, the Yankees did get ticked off with Siri.
Oh, yeah. Judge was staring him down. No, I understand.
Okay, so what that's going to lead to is a brawl, which is great. I love that stuff.
Maybe then it stops it.
Okay, well, hopefully. But either way, if the sport is not going to police itself anymore, then baseball needs to step in. And just, I'm not saying shut it all down. I'm saying curtail it a little bit. Put a little cap on it.
Would you like a little fertilizer for that lawn, old man?
Yeah, I would, actually.
I must say you're not wrong, but it's not changing. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal here on The Fan. All right, before we get back to the call, so I really value Joe. I think Joe, it sounds crazy, because he's won nothing. I think Joe Douglas is good at his job. Unfortunately, what he messed up the most is the most important position, so it skews unfavorably for him all of the good that he's done. But how can you mess this up? How can you, you know, it's one thing to let Bryce Huff walk. It's a lot of money. Okay?
Which I didn't have a problem with.
Neither did I. But you let a good player who was from the culture and fit well. I'm not saying that Redick won't, whatever he plays, if he does. But how fit? And he was effective. Money's different. Got it. But you also gave up a decent amount of draft equity. I believe that was a third-round pick. So you let a good player leave. You give up draft picks. And you don't have this resolved by the time practice starts today?
Come on.
How?
Come on. This is just, I know you don't want to hear it.
Got to say it.
It's same old Jets type stuff. Even in a year where everything on paper is lined up, you could not believe in them, like I don't, whatever, as far as solo or as far as being legit Super Bowl contenders, but everything on paper is lined up, and now this nonsense. It's not even just now. Like, this has been happening, you know, going back to the OTAs or whatever, and now he's holding out. Like, it's just same old Jets type stuff. By the way, not only is Douglas not one, and I tend to agree with you, like, and maybe it's just in comparison to what we've seen in the past from the Jets, Maccagnan or Idzik, and it just felt different with Joe Douglas. Dude, 7-9, 2-14, 4-13, 7-10, 7-10. Zach Wilson. Like, and this is like, the Hassan Reddick stuff is
small potatoes.
Yeah, compared to that.
He couldn't even handle the backup quarterback spot, let alone getting the right spot, the first guy right.
Yeah, understood. Like, jeez. I mean, at some point, if he were 9-8, it wouldn't be good enough.
Yeah.
He's not, he hasn't even gotten an 8-win season in a 17-game schedule.
Well, we're here now. 9-8, he's gone. 9-8, Salah's gone. 9-8, everyone's gone. It's the rules.
What's the bare minimum? And then, like, all right, so say 10-7 in the playoff spot. Like, it's still not good enough.
10-7 is not good enough.
But what if they go 10-7 and make the playoffs out in the first round?
No. Goodbye.
You think Woody's going to do
that? Well, then I would definitely get rid of the coach. I could still probably justify keeping Joe.
Yeah.
I
do. Are you going to make him take another head coach and quarterback?
Yeah, that's tricky. That's a good point.
But
that's,
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, BT, because a part of me agrees with you.
I know.
There's something about him that I trust, too.
Yeah.
But if you fire Salah after this year and give him another opportunity to hire a head coach and draft a quarterback, which they're going to have to do at some point over the next 2 years because Rodgers isn't going to play forever, and he gets it wrong again, you're setting yourself back another 3-4 years.
Another
10 years.
We've already wasted 40. Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, imagine, you know, somebody recommends a financial advisor to you, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I've got this, I've got that, I've got kids, I've got college funds, I've got, you know, everything I've got to set up, whatever. I've got a home, here's what I have, help me out. And somebody comes that you trust, that you value. Hey, you know, my buddy Joe somebody that I worked with for the last 15 years, he's giving me 10, 11, 12% return every single year. He's phenomenal. And you hire him. And for the first 5 years, you're minus 4%. He comes well received. He comes with a good scout report. Did you make me money or did you lose me money?
Right.
And right now, Joe's lost a lot of money, but it's just odd. It's counterintuitive. I still support the guy. Like, if Robert Saleh left the building, it's going to sound so callous, man. But if Robert Saleh left the building today, I wouldn't miss him for a second.
Right.
Like, okay, upgrade. I think Joe could be a great GM.
I think the reason why we believe that, I do think there have been some flashes. He's made some brilliant trades, and he's
Jamal Adams.
Yeah, he's unafraid. And he's made some good picks too. Look, everybody's got some good picks, some bad ones, but when he's missed colossally here. But the way he carries himself, he doesn't seem overwhelmed by the job, by the city. He seems confident. And sometimes it does take a while. I also think it's in comparison to his predecessors, which were god-awful.
That's true.
Bottom of the barrel, overmatched every which way possible. You know, so there is some of that in there with Joe Douglas. But I do trust him to a certain extent. Hey, bottom line is, it's a wins business. You know that. It's all about winning. At some point, they gotta win.
Oh, it's got to be this year. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal. Coming up, we'll start getting into the Subway Series. Roll with the Jets as well. A little something on Saquon Barkley. BT and Sal on the Fan.